Thank you for this invitation for 2 weeks in a row. It's wonderful to come back and to know so many of you. Last week I spoke about just ask, in Jesus' instructions to pray for things we need, and I might sum that up by saying we're encouraged to pray to the Good Father and just say help. So help sums up what we talked about last week. And we talked about even though sometimes we feel that's selfish or that it's a threat to our faith if God says no, when that's a bit silly, and suggests sometimes that if we just have to say help, we're not managing life well, and yet we're encouraged to do it. And Jesus says, the Good Father will hear you. I want to talk about the other side of it today, and I want to call that the wow. Last week was the help, this is the wow. And talk a little bit about awe before we come on to think about beauty. Because awe is a very interesting understanding of our reaction to something bigger than ourselves, more intricate than we could ever do, or something that takes us out of ourselves. And I thought Tyson quoting Claire last week summed it up very well. It gives you a sense of perspective about the world. And so it's the answer in a way to the comments people made last week about it being perhaps selfish to be thinking about our own needs and just praying for help. But if we put help and then have wow, I'm going to give you a third word at the end, which is a simple way of thinking about prayer and how we bring in the different ways and aspects of it. But first, a little bit more about awe. And it's interesting to me, the range of things that people have brought today about beauty, the range of things even just in my own family of what gives us awe. For me, sunsets, vast sky, mountains are what give me awe. Neil has a little bit more focus on the ocean, which is why we live where we do in Watermans Bay. But we both enjoy going snorkeling in the summer months on the reef at Metham's Pool and seeing the fish. And I find that very meditative. So awe about something vast, the ocean, can still have that intricacy of seeing the different coloured fish and learning to know what you will expect at different times of the year. We were talking about this in our home group recently, and one of the people there says, oh, she enjoys going to the pool. And she just goes up and down looking at the black line, and that for her is a focusing kind of meditation. Well, I think what I don't like about swimming at the pool is the black line. So there's a bit of variation in how we respond. But awe, it gives us a sense that there is something bigger than ourselves and a connection. And I think it's a little bit more than that when we come to the scriptures, because it's a focus there in the scriptures on the Creator. Why is there this wonderful thing? Why is there this thing that is outside of our control? Why do we have thunder and lightning and the things that frighten us, and yet they're all part of God's creation? Fuller Seminary in the US has what they call a Thrive Center. And in that Thrive Center, people do research into the value of being in nature and particularly of awe. And they concentrate on finding ways through research that are most helpful to young people. And they sum it up in this way: we discover being in nature can measurably, so this is research, measurably diminish feelings of impatience and aggression and stimulate generosity and peace. And I think all of us would testify that just getting outside and seeing the nature, whether it's the small things that we're focusing on or the big things, can contribute to that. And they're designing ways in which they can bring that into programs for young people. I have a suspicion that is part of what's behind being important for young people, young Indigenous people, being on country, apart from the connection to the land. There's something about being outside there too. But people have talked about awe and beauty, reminding us that this world is God's cathedral. And I understand what they mean. They mean it's big and vast. There is a philosophical discussion about if a tree falls in a forest and nobody sees it, did it really fall? Well, of course it does. but, you know, philosophers wrestle with these questions. And I think about, well, all of this beauty, some of which we are only just discovering right down to the microscopic level of cells in the human body, and we're only just discovering them. Were they not there before? Yes, they were there because the Creator created them and He enjoys them. And I think talking about the world as God's cathedral is an interesting concept because it's using a human construction word to describe the natural world which God has created. But I think I know why it's used. That is, we, in the past, built cathedrals large and out of human scale. When you go into a cathedral, you don't have good sight lines. All the things we think about communication and hearing voices and things like that today, a cathedral doesn't meet those, but it does echo, it does carry voice in a good way, but mainly it's a scale to remind us that when we're responding to the Creator, it's a scale well beyond the human scale. And so we can enjoy beauty in many different forms, in the intricacy of an insect, in a flower, in a human cell. Everything is a sign of God. And I'm just so pleased, Rochelle, I've lost where you are now, are there, that you mention music, because I find many of these discussions about beauty hardly mention music, and yet it is one of the great gifts that God has given us. In fact, C.S. Lewis says, I don't understand why we moved by music. I don't understand why we've got music that moves us like that. It must be that God has given us human beings a special gift, and many of us will testify to the beauty of music, but also the awe-inspiring music that can come together in a great orchestra or a mass choir or in a gentle chamber music performance. The beauty of music is a gift that we have received from God. So how should we think about this awe, this beauty? I turn to the Psalm 19. There are many psalms that herald the wonder of God's world. I just read you again verses 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. Or Psalm 104 begins this way. Lord, my God, You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps Himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of His upper chambers on their waters. Whenever the scriptures talk about beauty, they bring our focus in to the Creator. And I think I'd never noticed that until one of our travel trips in South America. We went to Machu Picchu in Peru. It's a hidden area that was a temple for the Inca leadership, the Inca king, hidden up the top of a mountain. When it was uncovered and discovered many centuries later by the Spanish explorers, they started looking at the alignment of the buildings and realized that the worship of the Inca priest was oriented around where the sun rises in the morning. So because we were good tourists and had to fully experience it, we stayed there 2 days. And on the second day before dawn, we were at the gates being allowed in so that we would be right on the site of the temple when the sun came up in the east. And then our tourist guide formed us into a circle and she started a liturgy because she was intending we all participate. Thank you for your explanation of liturgy. She started a liturgy of worship to Mother Earth and the sun. And I realized for the first time, one of the things I like about sunsets and sunrises is they're available to everybody. It's not just something that God has given me. It's something that's available to everybody. And I can also understand how, down through the ages, people have worshipped what they see as something so big and beyond them and that it's unfailingly there day after day after day. It's reliable. But what the scriptures tell us is that we don't worship the sun and we don't worship the moon and we don't worship Mother Earth, but we worship the creator of them, who is above what he has created. So worship of awe, in awe, worship in beauty is of the God who has revealed himself to us. And the wonder of this is that he has not only revealed himself to us as big, so that we want to say, wow, this is so wonderful. He's revealed himself to us as Father. So this is how it fits with last week. We come to God as Father and say, help. We come to God as Creator and say, wow. Now, what sociologists, psychologists and others tell us is that everybody worships something. So then the question is, if we're not worshipping Mother Earth and we're not worshipping the moon, if we're not worshipping God, who does a modern Australian worship? I think in the past, I would have said we worship things. We're a consumer society. People are intent in getting ahead so they can get the good things of life. Somebody has said consumerism is turning goods into gods. And people like Tim Keller have written books like Counterfeit Gods, discussing all the things that people put in the place of the Creator as he's revealed to us. But I've been thinking more recently, and I've seen some discussions of this in different places, that in fact consumerism is not a good explanation for way that Australians are responding now to the issues that confront them. And so I want to ponder on that a little bit, because the beauty of the world is still there, but are we expressing it in ways that people understand that's also to bring us to worship the Creator? And I was looking at the news last night and thinking about that riot, you'd have to say it was, in New York, in Union Square in New York. One of the online people was offering a whole lot of, I don't know whether it was Xbox handouts, giveaways. And so a large mob came together, and when he was a bit slow coming, and I'm sure he didn't have enough for everybody that was there in that crowd, they then started destroying property around, jumping on police cars, throwing stocks, things. And I wondered whether consumerism, it doesn't fully explain what's going on in modern society. And I remember some of the writers who I was looking at in my past, in my doctoral work, talking about expressive individualism. People like Bella in the US describing American society. More recent people are describing it as individualism, yes, but it's expressive as addressed to the human body. You are fully yourself when you have everything you need and when you are totally in control of your human body. And that's why there's a movement towards things like saying, I couldn't control my birth, but I should be able to control my death. I should have a right to everything that makes me happy, and do that irrespective of the rights of other people. So what happened in that riot last night yesterday in New York City was the people couldn't get what they wanted, so they weren't going to let anybody else have any rights. They wanted just their own rights. And so I'm still pondering this. This is how we think about society. But we know deep down that we get value in seeing awe of nature. We know deep down that just being in a natural world that takes us out of ourselves, that we share with other people, because I see that as an important aspect of that. What may be beauty to us is not quite the same level of beauty to someone else, but there is a lot of it that we share in common. How do we express that oneness as human beings that we have, because we are all created and come from the same Creator, and yet not everybody understands it that way? And I came back to thinking about some teaching from another philosopher, a Christian philosopher called Rudolf Otto, who talks about the privilege of knowing the Creator of all the world. It isn't just that we enjoy nature, enjoy beauty, but we know the Creator, and He wants to be known to us, and that's a great privilege. And so for me, awe and beauty are a reminder of the God who has made that and then has invited us to be in a relationship with Him. So the final point, the help, the wow, the final aspect of prayer is to say thanks. Because except for gratitude and being able to say thanks, we can't give anything back in return. We can only receive answers to our prayers of help, answers to the steadiness, perspective, the comfort that comes from the beauty and awe that God has given us. What can we do in response? All we can do is say thanks. So my summary of kinds of prayer is help, wow, thanks. Now, I pinched those words from somebody who's written a book, but she put it in a different way. But help, wow, thanks. I hope it informs your prayer life so that you know a little bit more about what God has invited us to come into in our relationship with Him. So let me read you an Australian psalm, a beginning of Psalm 19, as we've read today. I love the song that we sang from Robin Mann and another writer, because it's in an Australian expression. We go from the coast to the inland. We need water because we're in a desert areas, and we have the colours, the greens and the reds of our great outback up north. But this is Bruce Brewer's response to Psalm 19. The Southern Cross signals God's glory. The Milky Way gleams with His handiwork. Every new day tells His story. At night time, His skills are displayed. All nations and tongues can understand His language. His message saturates our planet. Look at the merry old sun in his robes of light. He smiles like a bridegroom on his wedding day. Keen as an athlete at the Olympics, he strides from Perth to Sydney. Then he sprints the other half of the circuit, missing no nation with his warmth. Hallelujah. What a God we have. Let me say thanks on our behalf. Our Father, our Creator, we say thanks because that's all we can do. We can't manufacture our lives. We can wrestle to understand it, but all we can do is take your gifts into our hands and say thanks. For the beauty of the earth, for the intricacy of an insect wing, for the wonder of a child at birth, for the way that you walk through us even unto death, we give you thanks. Amen.
Would you like to take questions?
I can, if we have time for that today.
To add to this, the conversation's been particularly about awe in nature. This year, I've been travelling with this author, Dasha Keltner, who's a and the book is called Awe, the Transformative Power of Everyday Wonder. I got into him through a podcast. So he's been part of. It's an extraordinary piece of social research where they've collected about 2,500 stories across cultures, across the world, of people's experience of everyday awe and wonder and practices for cultivating. And they have the research that says experiencing awe and wonder is good for your mental health. Surprise. But it's an extraordinary book, and they define awe in the way we are, of when you experience something. Awe is the feeling of being in the presence of something vast that transcends your current understanding of the world. And they basically say, they give that definition, and then they've collected these stories across 26 countries and cultures of, tell me a story of when you've experienced awe. And the eight are, surprise, surprise, no, it's nature. But then they've found...
The recording unexpectedly cut out at this point.